Welcome back to the Six Out Culture Podcast. Once again, I'm joined by Danny and Franchet. How are you doing, boys?
Good? Hey, guys. Doing fantastic, hey guys, you know?
Yeah, well, obviously, I hear what Franchet said there about being feeling fantastic, you know. Juve came off their 14th Coppa Italia win yesterday as was recording, and obviously, Juve fans have had a rough year. Well, I wouldn't say rough year, you know. For normal team winning two trophies would be fantastic, but for the amount they're paying their players and the quality of their side, you'd expect something more like a Scudetto, at least. But something like this is good for Juve fans, who are obviously in a tough top four race, and to take some pressure off Pirlo, who I'm sure has had a very tough year as his first year of not only Juve, managing Juve, but just managing in general. And this Coppa Italia win is huge, and obviously we're going to start right off the bat with the Coppa Italia win. Franchet, how are you feeling right after the win?
I'm feeling fantastic. I'm feeling relieved. I mean, going into it, I was a little nervous. Obviously, Bonucci picking up that knee problem. No Alessandro. I was pretty nervous. But I had a trust in the boys that this is the last trophy they would win for Buffon. And they would band together. And I'm glad he was in net, because if Chesney was in net, he would not have made the saves Buffon has made. And we would have lost the game if that Polish idiot was in net. So I'm glad Pirlo finally manned up and put Buffon in net for his last game. It was emotional as a Juventus fan, and I'm sure as Serie A fans, just finally watching Buffon leave for the final time in black and white. Like I said, we were getting dominating the first half. It was bad. I was getting very nervous, but Kulusevski, that guy, he was incredible. I feel like he got robbed in the game. Whoever decides this man of the match shit should be fired. Because I love Chiesa, but Kulusevski should have got man of the match. He scored a goal and got the game-winning assist. And Chiesa, he was good, but he only scored the goal and he missed a sitter. So I wouldn't give him man of the match. I would have gave it to Kulusevski. But at the end of the day, we won, and that's all that matters. Atalanta, I hope you're crying right now. Gasperini, I actually hope you're crying. They had loser mentality. When I was watching the game, you know, and they scored the equalizer. Because of Malinovsky's beautiful strike, you know, they were celebrating like they've just scored a goal to be winning the game, or a 90th minute winner, even though it was 1-1. They were celebrating with the fans, even though they were tied. That's loser mentality. And when Gasperini was going up there getting his second place medal, he was smiling. I don't know a lot of losers who lose a final and start smiling. So their mentality isn't at winners yet, and that's why they didn't win. And I'm glad Juventus added a Coppa Italia to this horrific season. Pirlo, two trophies. Hopefully a top four finish isn't bad at all for his first ever season managing, and I hope he improves and stays with Juventus.
Yeah, not shorter than I expected. I actually expected a longer rant from Franchet there, but
There is no rant. Ends. We won. We were the better team in the second half, and that's that.
Yeah. Second half, you guys were the better team.
First half, we got dominated.
Atalanta were the better.
Buffon saved us. That first half.
Even at the age of 43, the guy still class. Like, it's incredible. Even against Napoli too last year in the Coppa Italia.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for him, the game could have been decided.
The game would have ended. Agree.
And even when we played you guys the last time, when Buffon went in net, he was incredible. He makes big saves and he keeps the team going. And if the chips are down, say you were under pressure, he makes sure that the ball doesn't go in the net and keeps you in the game. And they always find a way to win, and which they did in this case.
Yeah, so I mean, there's just that. There's a stat with Buffon that he's undefeated with Juve this season. Every game he's played, he's either won or drawn. So it's incredible to see. I wish Pirlo could have seen that in the bigger games like the Champions League. Maybe we would have gone further. But it is what it is. I'm just glad that the almighty Buffon got to win a Coppa Italia with Enrico Chiesa and Federico Chiesa, just to share the legacy.
Yep.
Yeah, that's crazy. That must really make Buffon feel old. remembering your teammate from not too long ago and his son's right beside you winning a trophy. It's kind of a wake-up moment for him in his life. Like, that's crazy. I've been doing this for a long, long time.
Yeah, but there's that too. He played with Marcus Thuram, and then he played against his son. So it's crazy stuff too. Like that.
That's insane. And, Buffon's been around for a long time. He's a legend of the game. We're all going to miss him. But, obviously, everything good comes to an end at some point. He can't play forever. And I don't think it's career end. I'm pretty sure he wants to keep playing.
So yeah, he wants to keep playing.
I will still see Buffon just for Juve fans. He won't be wearing black and white anymore. Well, maybe if he goes to Udinese, but I don't see that happening. Or Parma. Maybe Parma. Parma's a possibility.
Yeah.
But to be honest, I won't be surprised if actually a bigger team picks him up. I wouldn't be surprised if we go for him, honestly, at this point.
Yeah, I think Mourinho said something about he would love Buffon at Roma.
Yeah, I don't know if that was a direct quote from him or someone just making up news.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if we look into that. But, yeah, great career, obviously. Legend of the game. I kind of would have liked if he got called to the Euros, even as a third keeper.
Yeah, because he still has it. He's still, like, he could have been back up to Donnarumma. He's still good. He's still making incredible saves.
Like, it's not like we lose anything. Like, with him, like, without him there or with him there, like, we don't lose nothing. It's not like he's going to be, most of the time he won't be playing, but it's a
good
veteran.
That'll be Donnarumma, yeah.
It'll be a good veteran presence to have, and especially to mentor, like, a guy like Donnarumma. Like, just tell him, like, what he expects in these big games, just to prepare him for these bigger games. And it's a good learning stone to learn under the great and legendary Buffon.
Yeah, definitely. And I don't think it's Italy that wanted to call him up and Mancini. I think it's more Buffon to see the young guys play. To be honest, it is, I don't want to say disrespectful from him, but it's kind of like you're 40, like let the kids have the time, you know what I mean? So if even if they're not going to play like someone like Golini or someone, let them go up and just be a part of the team, even though they probably won't get any minutes, you know? It's probably more of that. I feel like if Italy offered him, he'd probably say no. He did probably say no, but I'm sure they either spoke to him or something about that.
Yeah, 100%. He said that when he came back to Juve. He didn't want the number one. He didn't want the captain armband. He said, I'm just here for the ride. Like, I'm here if you need me. I don't want to be like captain again. I don't want to be number one. You guys take it. It's your time now.
Yeah, so that's just the guy he is off the pitch. And, yeah. Thank you, Buffon, for all the memories you created, and we're looking forward to see what happens next year with Buffon and where it goes. I'm hoping it's not the MLS. I hope it's Italy, and I don't think he'll leave Italy, to be honest.
I think he said he wants to stay close to like Juventus as possible.
Yeah,
so
he wants to
stay
as close to Torino because that's where his house is.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens with him. But yeah, like I said, great career for Buffon, and looking forward to see what happens. And moving on the same wavelength, Pirlo, there's been a lot of debate this season about how he's done as a manager. I know I have my opinion, Frances has his, Danny has his. Everyone has it. I feel like it's one of those topics where everyone has a different opinion on it. It's very hard to... What's the word I want to use?
I just think
people are very indifferent
on
this. Yeah, people are very indifferent on the subject. It's pretty mind-boggling, to be honest. I feel like usually... Juve fans, when it comes to a manager, well, unless it's Merchad, but most of them either all agree on one manager staying or all agree on one manager leaving. It's usually around there. But Pirlo is very, he's making it tough for people to make up their mind. Just quickly, I know Merchad obviously want to go into Danny as well. But quickly, what I'm thinking of this is I think Pirlo, obviously, we've said 100 times this year, he's been thrown into a situation that is very tough to handle. You have a mix of some young players, some older players. And the thing of Juve, if you look at the roster and the team, it's hard to tell if they're win now or win later. Obviously, probably more to win now. You got guys like Chiellini, obviously Buffon, who people wanted to see win the Champions League. Ronaldo, of course, when he's there, you always want to win the Champions League. So it's very tough to handle Juve. And you guys got like Kulusevski, who is someone who has talent but has struggled and then I showed great moments, and you don't know what's going on with him. And it's very tough for someone like Pirlo to manage, but I think, yeah, Juve is a win-now team, and obviously the season, no matter how you spin it, was a disappointment. Getting eliminated in the round of 16 of the Champions League, Cristiano Ronaldo, fighting for top four, the fourth spot, maybe higher, you don't know, but it's never a good look. But it's hard to blame Pirlo. It's not his fault at all. If anything... It's Juve's management for throwing him in there. I feel like Pirlo would have been better off maybe with someone like Sarri staying and then Pirlo beside him as an assistant and maybe eventually taking the reign as the head coach. But to throw him in like that, it's just a lose all the way around to every player. It's just tough. I think as the years go on, you're going to see Juve go more to the young side, but you can't just kick Chiellini out. You just can't kick Bonucci out. You can't kick Ronaldo out.
That's what they're doing.
Yeah. You got to go more young at some point, fully young. But I'd say you would maybe have, which I can probably agree or disagree, I think you have maybe one, maybe another year, 1 or 2 years left to try and win the Champions League before you go fully young and get ready for a future in the next 10 years ahead. But, yeah, it's hard to grade Pirlo's season. I don't really want to say he had a bad year because it's not his fault. But at the same time, you have seen Juve lose more games, more big games than usual, and get beaten badly more than usual. Pirlo did win some big games, though, but games like Milan, the Fiorentina game, games like that, the Atalanta game, except obviously one now.
Benevento,
Crotone, what was it, Crotone?
Yeah, I think we tried.
There's a lot of results you don't normally see Juve get, and like I keep saying it, but it's not really Pirlo's fault, but at the same time, he's thrown into a situation, has to deal with it, and do his best, but... Yeah, it's a Juve side we're not used to seeing, much weaker and vulnerable than usual, but we'll see what happens with Pirlo. In my opinion, it's tough. Like, if he's going to stay, you have to make sure that there's no better options out there. Like, if Zidane's available, like they're saying, at least in the news, I think Pirlo's gone. If Zidane's available, Juve's getting him. I have a feeling he'll stay at Juve, Pirlo. I can't see him going to another club yet. I think maybe he'd stay as an assistant or somewhere, maybe working with the younger players. But, yeah, we'll see what happens. But, for chat, I'm really interested to see what you think about this whole thing.
Yeah, I'm sure many Juve fans know the only manager I ever wanted gone in Juventus' history was Allegri. I couldn't stand him. I still can't stand him. With Sadi, I was probably one of the only fans that I've known that said I wanted Sadi to stay. Unfortunately, he was sacked. Like Enzo said, I think Pirlo was thrown into hot water. I can't blame Pirlo. He's done great for Juve. Obviously, in Juve standards, it's a poor season because we didn't win the Scudetto. And I think it's a good thing. We got knocked down the round of 16. And again, similar to last year, I think it's a good thing. I think we were Juve fans and Juve players got way too complacent with the Scudetto. Like every time they won the Scudetto, they thought of it as a success, even though they crashed out early in the Champions League. And now we could really look at ourselves and say, okay, we lost the Scudetto. Not only did we lose the Scudetto, we lost it bad. We lost it to Inter, first of all. Second of all, we're not even in top four yet. It's not guaranteed. It's not even in our hands. So I think it's a good eye opener. Hopefully Pirlo and the locker room could build on that. Like Enzo said, the management's the problem here. Paratici has kicked out Buffon. He's going to kick out Chiellini. And it's just players that don't need to be kicked out that are getting kicked out just for the whole sake of building this young team that we can't even afford, I don't think. But going into the manager, I hope Pirlo stays. But honestly, what I think's happening, regardless of how the season finishes, if we're in Europa League or if we're in top four, I think we've all seen the news of Ronaldo's cars just being transported outside of his home. A lot of people want to speculate. I honestly think Paratici likes Ronaldo way too much. Agnelli likes Ronaldo way too much. The market of Juventus will suffer tremendously if Ronaldo leaves. I don't care about his on-field presence, his how poor he's been. His marketability of having Ronaldo sells shirts. It makes Juventus money, and it has star players coming to Juve and the Serie A. So losing a figure like Ronaldo is huge for us. That's why we're trying to push for Champions League so much too, because Ronaldo's not playing in Europa League. And I think if Ronaldo's like, I want to win Champions League, I don't think Pirlo could win Champions League as a manager. I think Paratici was like, okay, we'll get Zidane if you stay. Like, if you stay, we promise you'll get Zidane. So I personally think that's going to happen. If we do make Champions League, if we get Europa League, Zidane's not coming. It'll be Pirlo. But if we make Champions League, I genuinely think Zidane will come to Juve for the sole fact of keeping Ronaldo. And Pirlo might either be sacked, go to another team, or, you know, maybe we give him his old job at the under-23s where Zidane's nice and says, I want you as my assistant manager, teach you the ropes.
Yeah, well said. Zidane is a high-profile name. Similar to Pirlo, I think he came into a tough situation early in his career and did well. And obviously the Real Madrid team, Zidane had everything. Every top player almost in Europe on his team in their prime.
And he had the buck too, the transfer buck. He could have signed who he wanted.
Yeah, anyone. So he had a much easier time than Pirlo did. But situation-wise, he came into a very similar situation, coming to a big club very early on in their managerial career. But Danny, what do you think about this whole Pirlo scenario? And another thing, who would you like to see take over if Pirlo is to leave?
Yeah, like it's an interesting like debate. But personally, I agree with both points, with you, Renz, and with Francesca. I think if Juve get top four, I think you keep Pirlo because he did what he could despite not winning the Scudetto, not taking up the Champions League, because he's been put in a tough situation. And the way Juve is now, it's kind of reminded me how Napoli were last year, and with their, like, what's the word I'm looking for? With their, like, kind of like what they did with Gattuso, say. Gattuso winning the Coppa Italia really helped him with his job, because I personally thought if Napoli were lost the Coppa Italia to Juve and they finished in seventh place, not even getting Europa League, I personally thought Gattuso was gone and we would just get like a manager for this season. But with Gattuso stay, like you say now, Pirlo winning the Coppa Italia and Juve having a chance to make it to top four, I think Juve might keep him. But if they want to go the way and say, you know what, this is all or nothing this season, then you could sack Pirlo and hire maybe like a likes of Zidane if he's available. Or even rumors have it too that Allegri might be in the running as well. So those are the two guys I can see potentially joining Juventus, but Allegri more to Madrid, depending on the Zidane situation. Or even Allegri, some rumors have it he might be close to signing with Napoli, so we'll see. But I think, all honestly, you keep Pirlo one more year because you kind of threw Pirlo under the bus, so it's not really his fault that the Juve are not there playing at their standards. But if Juve really want to move on and they want to win this one last Champions League for Chiellini, for Ronaldo, and who knows, maybe Buffon, if he might, but it seems like Buffon might be leaving, so if you really want to win one last champion or try to win one more Champions League, then you have to go out and get like a manager or like Zidane. But overall, I think Pirlo, he's done the best he could for Juventus. I know they crashed out very early in the Champions League and they didn't even win, like, didn't win Scudetto. But I feel like that Coppa Italia win might have something to do with, might be kind of like a benefit and maybe gave Pirlo some extra points on staying as manager.
Yeah. Well said from both of you. I think we all have more or less same sentiment about the Pirlo situation. And still in the same vein, it's a very Juve-heavy podcast. But top four, Danny just mentioned it. Milan, Napoli, and Juve are all battling out right now. Atalanta are safe. Obviously, Milan and Inter are good to go. Well, not Milan, sorry. Not Milan, what am I saying? Inter's good to go in Atalanta. But yeah, Milan, Napoli, Juve. We got to choose two of them. I think we'll go here in a circle. I'll start off with who I think. Okay. Obviously, this game, we got a big game this weekend. I think everyone knows who's listening. Napoli has a huge game, obviously, fighting for top four. But the big one is Milan-Atalanta. That's a massive game. That's so big. And it's kind of ironic how that's the final match of the match day. It kind of feels like a final in a way. Obviously, there's no trophy at the end of it, but a Champions League spot is good enough, so that's the big one to tell who's going in. I think the big question for everyone is Atalanta going to put their foot on the gas? And that's something that I don't know. I feel like knowing Atalanta, they play with a chip on their shoulder. I think they're going to be embarrassed when Juve lost, and I don't think they're going to want to go in there and just gift the game to Milan. I also don't think they're going to kill themselves to win the match, but I can see Atalanta trying to win this game, and I don't think it'll be easy for Milan. I don't see Atalanta putting their youth team on their bench or whatever and letting Milan walk through them. So I think it all comes down to that one. Napoli, I do think they're going to come away with a top four spot. I think they're in a very good position right now. Verona's a tough team defensively. I think it might be one of those games where Verona sit back the whole match and Napoli just constantly trying to find an opening to try and score against Juric's three at the back there, but even though it's three at the back, it's like 10 at the back.
Yeah, the whole population of Verona at the back.
Yes. Like, I think it might be one of those where it comes down to the final 20 minutes. I feel like the whole match Napoli will be having chances but not really being able to get that little opening. And I think the final 20 minutes, around 70th minute to the 90th, is going to be the big mark in the game. If someone can step up, I think there will be a hero for Napoli, maybe someone like Osimhen, Insigne. I think something's going to need to happen, some magic moment. But I do think Napoli will come away with that one. I don't think it'll be easy at all, though. When it comes to Milan, Atalanta, that's such a tough one. I just have a feeling that Atalanta's going to beat Milan and Juve's going to make the Champions League. I don't know why something's telling me. Milan, they've been great recently, but I just have Atalanta beating them. I think their streak of no Champions League may continue. And it's just so hard to picture Juve outside the top four. I just can't see it happening. So I'm probably going to have to go with Juve and Napoli going through it. I'm not just saying that because you guys are on the podcast. Mm. That's actually what I think.
Yeah.
But, Richard, how are you feeling about this one?
I'm incredibly nervous, ends. I don't think it's a secret that Gasperini hates Juve. At first, I was very confident after Milan tied to Cagliari that Atalanta would either tie or beat Milan, because that's all we need, just a tie or a win for Atalanta. And I thought Atalanta's team was good enough, has the quality to beat Milan. And if they lose to Milan, they lose second place. I think a lot of people are forgetting that.
Yeah,
so they need to win to stay in second place. So they do have a little something to fight for. But I think after the Coppa Italia defeat, Atalanta could say, you know what, fuck Juve, we want them to be in Europa League. Or they could say, listen, I don't care, we lost the Coppa Italia, let's bounce back with the win. And I hope they have that, but my only concern is they're facing a fully fit Milan team.
Without Ibra.
Without Ibra, but they do have Ante Rebic. And Atalanta are tired after that Coppa Italia. It was kind of relaxing back. It was a high-pressured game for the full 90 minutes, and I think the players' legs are going to be a little tired. They're not going to be as fresh as the Milan players, which kind of worries me. The mentality isn't there for Atalanta. I really hope Atalanta just get a tie or win. I don't care if they finish second place. A tie or a win, I would be celebrating. Obviously, Juve would have to win against Bologna too, which I'm confident that they will. In terms of Napoli, Verona, I think Verona is much more confident in their ability to beat Napoli. I think the players, I like what the players are saying and the manager is saying about it's not an easy match for Napoli, and they're going to go out fighting, even though Verona don't really have anything to fight for. It's for the pride, for the victory, for the fans. So I really like Verona's pressure. My only concern for that game is Napoli is at home. And if they were away, like they were in January, they lost 3-1 Napoli, so that's kind of my safe ground for them. I do think Juve is going to go through. I think Milan will crash out because Milan played bad, and I think the Atalanta players aren't going to choke the game just because Gasperini tells them to. But hopefully, you know, Juve get the win, and either Napoli or Milan lose or tie.
Yeah. Like for me, this Sunday is going to feel like Champions League finals, Coppa Italia.
Yeah. It sucks that they're on the same time too. They're literally all at 9 a.m. those games.
I
don't like that at that because I have to watch Juve obviously, and I'm going to be getting notifications of the other teams.
Because it will put more pressure on players to perform well.
Because they don't know what's happening.
Yeah, they won't know what's happening. And there's no fans to say, oh, 1-0 Bologna or whatever. Like, it's...
Well, I'm sure the assistant managers would... Yeah. I'm sure the assistant managers would say, like, oh, like, this team's winning, this team's tied, this team... Like,
yeah,
I'm sure they'll be like...
Or something like that. But this is going to feel like... you can name it possible finals this Sunday. Mm-hmm. That's what this game's going to feel like.
Yeah.
And for me, I think... it'll probably be Napoli, and I want, as much as I want Milan to make it, Napoli and Milan to make it, I just think Juve could find a way to squeeze in. I feel like Atalanta, like you guys were saying too, I don't think Atalanta will give up second place just to screw Juventus. I think Atalanta, they want to be finish the season on the best note, and finishing in second place is probably their moral victory. So I feel like Atalanta are going to try to win this match. I wouldn't be as surprised if this game ends in a tie, but I feel like Napoli and Juve will be the ones advancing, and Milan will be in the Europa League next season.
Yeah, we're all in agreement there. Sorry to any Milan fans, but it's going to be tough for them because obviously they won the Winter Scudetto, and for them to crash out of even Champions League is tough. So, yeah, obviously not going to count them out. They're not out at all. They're still very much in the race.
Yeah, but, all they have to do is just win the tie. That's
gotta win.
Win.
And they just gotta win. They gotta win. Yeah, but it's gonna be tough over Atalanta. I just don't see Atalanta as a team that will sit down for Milan or any team at all. So the one thing about them, they always have a chip on their shoulder when they play. And like I said, they're not gonna want to lose two straight and let their fans down. They want to end the season off right. And like Danny said, get a moral victory. So we'll see what happens. Last thing I really want to bring up here, unless you guys want to add anything, Mancini, your news contract with Azzurri until 2026.
That's great news.
I'm so happy about that. He's been such a great manager for us. Obviously, we're not going to mention our previous manager's name. We all know who it is. Who? I don't want to mention that guy's name. Let's leave that guy in the past. But I like Mancini. He gives the youth a chance. He does a good job of rotating the squad. We don't always see the same starting lineup. I think all the players appreciate that. Obviously, when the Euros start, it's going to have to change. You have to find your best players for each position. But I think he's done a great job of winning the qualifying matches. And while winning them, also giving a chance for people to show their talent on the international level. Guys like Locatelli, I think, wouldn't get the chance if it was another manager. And with Mancini, he's gotten the chance. And he's looked great. Yeah, I think this upcoming Euros is going to be huge for us. France, as always, looking very dominant, and their starting lineup just insane. It's like an ultimate team on FIFA 21. It's not normal how strong that team is, and their bench too. But it's not going to be easy. I think Italy should be able to get by their group easily, though. If we struggle in our group, I will be not only shocked but embarrassed.
Oh yeah,
after I'm making the World Cup, I think the players are going to come out fighting and pissed off and wanting to put down the past and sure future what we have, because we have many players who can be important for us. And you know, it was a good national team when I was thinking about naming our young players that are good, and I know I'm going to forget so many out because there's so many of them. I'm going to forget some.
Yeah.
We got guys like Locatelli, maybe Meret becomes a good keeper. Calabria, Di Lorenzo, Zaniolo, Chiesa, Donnarumma, Moiskin, who's had a good year. I'm going to forget people. That's why I didn't want to get into it. But there's so many names.
We even have like a lot coming up, too. Say, like,
Raspadori.
Raspadori, a few guys like Fratese, he's pretty good. Ravella, like so many guys coming up. And I feel like a lot of these guys are only going to get better. Bastoni, like this guy's.
Yeah, Bastoni. I forgot Bastoni. See how good we are. I forgot Bastoni. Yeah.
For him to get like the same sentence as Maldini, like you have to be somewhat special. And to be in the same sentence as Maldini, like it's incredible.
Yeah, these kids are getting great comparisons, and I think the Euros, we're going to see something special, but I think the World Cup, when all these players are that little much more experienced and that little bit older, and we're going to have a fresh Zaniolo. I think that World Cup, we're going to see something incredible. I think it's just a warm-up. Zeros is just a warm-up. Wait till the World Cup. I'm telling you, this team's going to be unreal.
That attack, though, like, I'm speechless because how scary it could be with the potential we have in the attack. The midfield, I can't complain. It's probably arguably our best midfield since probably the 2006 World Cup, like, if anything. Yeah.
And you know how strong it is when one midfielder is the captain of us, Roma, and he might not even start, it's looking like. So that's incredible when you have a captain of a team that probably won't even start.
Yeah, so, yeah, and we got guys too who can miss it that you go, wow, this guy would have been good. Like,
yeah, it's just unreal. And that World Cup is our World Cup to win. Obviously, the Euros, I want to win. I think we all do. I think we do have a chance to win it. It will be tough, though. But if you look at the World Cup, a lot of these French guys like N'Golo Kante, Pogba, Hugo Lloris, all these guys are all going to be older and probably in their early 30s. And when us, we're going to be ready to go in our prime. I think Chiesa by then will be a different level. Zaniolo is huge right now. He got massive. Sure. Looks focused. And I think he'll be a monster.
Raspadori
already a monster.
Raspadori will be our number nine.
Yeah, potential Raspadori. I think Moise Kean, if he keeps up his year he's had at PSG, he'll be unreal. Barella, Rovella, maybe. Pellegrini, who's had a great year for us, he'll be in a mix.
Locatelli will be 26, 27, maybe. Like, he'll still be good age, like, in his prime.
Yeah, it's incredible. And then we got Bastoni, I didn't even mention, Lorenzo. And it's unreal. So I'm really excited. I think Mancini is the right man for the job. I think he's shown enough to get the contract renewal. He's broken records. I think, he have the longest winning streak or unbeaten streak in Italy history, town history, something like that. He's broken many records. Our one thing we really like is our defensive record. We've barely conceded under Mancini. It's very rare to see Italy concede. Exactly. And we've always been known for our defense, but when you see Bonucci, Barzagli, Chiellini, all these guys leaving, you're saying, oh, wow, we're left in the dust here. Who are we going to have? And now, as soon as they leave, we got guys stepping up here. Gianluca Mancini has been stepping up this season for us like a leader. I think Mancini will be part of our future. Bastoni definitely will be a part of our
100%.
Future.
100%. Guys like Lovato is pretty good. Del Prato, he's been playing good for the under-21s. Gabbia for the under-21s has been unreal. Like, he's him and Lovato, like, together when they played the last
Frabotta.
Match. Frabotta, maybe, yeah. Like, we got so much talent, and as long as we can keep them, for me personally, I feel like if we can keep these guys in Italy and play them under the Serie A system, I feel like Italy will have a chance to win the World Cup. I would probably give Italy the World Cup in 2026 if all the guys can pan out and learn the way that the 2006 team played. Like, I got, like, stuff like that. That's what this team can be special. That's all I gotta say.
Yeah, my favorite part about this young Italy team is no one's talking about it. Everyone keeps mentioning how overpowered France is, or how England have an amazing team. Like, they're the team that has the youngest players, the best players with Foden and Mount, and no one's talking about Italy. So when all these teams are underestimating Italy and they see us and they lose to us, it's just going to be a giant upset to them. But for the Italians who actually understand and watch, then they'll say, yeah, this is what happens when you underestimate us. So it's going to be incredible to watch.
Yeah, and I think all these things are all leading up to the World Cup. All these things are building on it. For example, missing the World Cup, that's a chip on our shoulder. And then you have this upcoming Euros, everyone's counting us out. I think it's going to be a good experience for everyone, every player, to experience a big competition, their first one for most of them. And when it comes to just winning the Euros and forget the World Cup, kind of like it's not happening, just like this summer, what's going on, I think it all comes down to our number 9 spot. I think if we can convert, I think we can go far. If they don't, I don't think we'll go anywhere. It's off to Belotti and Immobile, and you know what? We're at the end of the year now, and we don't know who's going to start for us at number 9. I have no idea. I don't know.
I wouldn't be surprised. Like,
The number 9.
I wouldn't be surprised. It depends on who gets called up, too. Like, who knows if... Yeah, I think... the guys that got called up for the pre-qualifying match, or just the friend against San Marino, I'm assuming we'll see most of these guys when Italy does make their call-ups. But I feel like heading into the tournament, I think Immobile might be the starter. It's a 50-50 at this point, but I think I'm going to lean more towards Immobile than, say, Belotti. But I can see Mancini, say, the first game Immobile does nothing. I can see Belotti starting the next game, and then maybe rotation if they're both inconsistent. But I think Immobile will start the tournament in the first game. I wouldn't be surprised if Belotti gets the second game.
Yeah, and if we get a penalty, keep it away from Immobile, please. That guy.
It's okay, we have Jorginho. We'll probably have Jorginho take it.
Yeah, I don't want Immobile on the field, but if he's take a pen, I turn off the TV. But, all I ask for a number 9 spot is for them to work hard and finish their opportunities. That's all they need. I think for the national team, if you look at their goal scoring record, obviously Belotti has a better goal scoring record in less games, but Immobile has shown he can go off when given the chance for Lazio, at least on the national team.
Yeah, the last game, oh my god, that's a very sour taste in my mouth. What was it, like 8 chances he had or something? He scored a penalty.
You know what, I don't care what anyone says, he sucks, I don't like him, he's garbage, I don't care what anyone says, he can go off. I mean, I don't like Immobile at all, obviously I'm a Roma fan, but just he frustrates me so much for national team, it's unreal. Obviously Belotti frustrates me too. but he does not miss anywhere near as many chances as Immobile does. And Immobile has Luis Alberto behind him, and Milinkovic Savic, and Correa. And by the way, without Correa, Immobile is garbage. Like, I was watching the Roma game, and obviously Inzaghi, he likes when Lazio counterattacks. And to counterattack, you need speed. Correa has speed. Without Correa against us, they were terrible. They're trying to counterattack with Immobile, who moves as fast as a brick, doesn't move at all. So, I think I do think Belotti's going to win that spot. Maybe I'm being biased, but I think Belotti's going to win the spot eventually. Moiskin. I don't think Mancini likes Moiskin too much, to be honest. I think from last summer's antics with the national team or 2 years ago, maybe it was. But, I don't think he likes Moiskin too much.
You got to give the kid a chance to play. You don't know what you have until you play them. And I agree with you on the Immobile part. I'm not a huge Immobile fan as well. I would like to see Belotti start, but I feel like Mancini is just going to go off based off like pedigree, and I think Immobile, like, he'll go with Immobile because it's Immobile. Like, it's the guy. He looks at the stats he had last year. Oh, first 6 goals here, let him play. But
yeah,
we'll see what happens. But I'm excited for it, and I can't wait. Hopefully, we get to watch a. Hopefully, if the COVID situation, if it improves, hopefully we get to watch a game together. I'm excited for that.
Yeah, it'd be great. Hopefully, we get together, and all of you can get together with your friends and family to watch. Just one last thing I'm really worried about with the whole Immobile and Belotti thing. I think the worst thing Mancini can do is rotate them. So let's say in the Euros, first game, Immobile plays terrible.
Yeah, next game, Belotti.
Belotti plays bad. Next game, Immobile plays bad. Pick one and let them run with it, because they're going to have a bad game. They're not going to have an amazing game every time. You might play Immobile in the first game, plays terrible. Second game, maybe he'll do better. Same with Belotti. We can't keep rotating these strikers. There's no consistency being built. The players around them, if you're seeing a new guy in front of you every game,
your head, like, you have to play different too.
You
play differently.
Both strikers are very different. Like, when it comes to style, Belotti's more of a in-box threat. Like, Immobile is just more of like, give him the ball and he'll finish it. Like, types.
Yeah.
And Belotti does more too. I think Belotti does brings more to the table because he does tend to collect. Yeah, he collects the ball, draws a lot of fouls. And he's just a presence to look out for in the box. Immobile is more of your typical, like, stay in the box, cross it in, finishing type of player. Belotti brings more, he collects and stuff, and it's very different. And you can see it too with, like, say, Insigne, when Insigne plays with Belotti and Insigne plays with more Immobile. It's very different Insigne and even Chiesa too.
Insigne and Chiesa know they have to do a little bit more of the work to get Immobile the ball, whereas Belotti, they knew, okay, Belotti's going to get the ball, so we could go into the box and be that player too.
Yeah. And I'm excited too, because I feel like our attack on the left side, with especially if, say, like a Spinazzola and Insigne play, or Emerson and Insigne, that's another, they have, I feel like more like Emerson and Insigne have a better connection. I could see it too, but Spinazzola and Insigne too, it's scary because you get both those guys attacking you on the right side. If you're a right back, you should say a few prayers because those guys can make your head spin and make you feel dizzy after they have the ball.
Yeah, I think at this point, I don't want Chelsea, but I think Spinazzola has got this position locked down for starting at the Euros. He's maybe been our best player, definitely top two or three. When he gets that ball and he's just gone, he's been so good. And I think him and Insigne on the same side will be incredible at the Euros. But I think when it comes to
left back, as long as it's not like Baraghi or something, because I'm a big fan of Emerson and I'm a big fan of Spinazzola as well.
Yeah, same here. I love both of them. And with Belotti Immobile, just when Immobile is not scoring, he's completely useless. With Belotti, at least when he's not scoring, he does other things.
He's doing something,
He runs back.
He knows how to read the game well, too. Like, if he says, okay, I can't score, I can't get past these guys, let me go help out defensively. Let me go help out the mid, get the ball up and give it to the players that are on the hot form. Whereas Immobile's like, okay, I'm not scoring. I'm just going to stay in the box. Eventually, I'll score.
Yeah, and if I had to compare Immobile to a player, I think the closest player in all of Europe to Mandzukic would be Belotti. I think Belotti reminds me very much of Mandzukic. He works hard. He can hold up the play. He's a goal scorer. He can win headers. He's just a beast. And I'd really like to see Immobile get the starting spot. But if Immobile plays well, we can't deny him. But up to this point, that hasn't been the case.
Much. Yeah.
So we'll see what happens with the Euros.
I'm
anything
excited
else
for
you guys want to talk about before we wrap it up?
Okay. You guys?
No, I'm all good for now.
All good? That's a surprise. Yeah. Chad usually has a little something at the end for us.
Well, you know, season's coming to an end. I would have mentioned the Inter game, but, you know, they won the Scudetto. I can't really say anything. And we just move on to the next season, you know?
Yeah, I'm surprised no Barcelona shots today.
Well, Dan, I'm more scared than ever. If Ronaldo leaves, Griezmann could come to Juve. I think I gotta keep my mouth shut about Barcelona. Please, Dan, please.
Yeah,
please.
If you guys don't know, well, you probably don't know. I don't think he's mentioned on this podcast. He hates Ter Stegen. Does not like him at all.
I don't hate him. I just think he's overrated. That's all.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, every mistake Ter Stegen makes, we always hear about it in our group chat we have. So I'm very up to date with Ter Stegen's errors in his career. Thanks for the chat.
Him and Griezmann, yep.
But, yeah, we're going to wrap it up here. Next week, we're going to have our Team of the Season, all the awards. It's always my favorite podcast here, to be honest.
Yeah.
We handle our awards.
These are the ones I look forward to because it's fun to see who everyone has.
Yeah, it's going to be a great
one.
Has
them all MVP.
Yeah, So yeah, next week will be a blast. And then after that, obviously, we got the World Cup coming up. We got transfers. We're going to talk about all summer. I think transfers we all look forward to. It's always a fun one to speculate. And yeah, looking forward to the future. I'll wrap it up here. Thanks for listening. Check out our social media, at @SixAdCulture on everything. Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, all that good stuff. And yeah, see you next week. Ciao.
Ciao, guys.
Ciao.